Our text today speaks to the place where faith stops becoming theory and starts becoming costly. Jesus has already called the 12. He's given them authority. He sent them out to announce that the kingdom of heaven has come near. He has told them to heal, cleanse, raise, and deliver. He has also told them that they will not always be welcomed. Some doors will close. Some voices will accuse. Some relationships will become strained because allegiance to Jesus changes the way a person lives. Now, this passage can feel heavy because Jesus doesn't soften his words. He talks about fear, truth, confession, family division, the cross, and losing life in order to find it. Yet the heart of the passage is not threat, it is preparation. Jesus loves his disciples enough to tell them the truth before the hard days come. He wants them to know that resistance doesn't mean they have failed, and suffering doesn't mean that the Father has forgotten them. The sparrow image that we're given is important. Jesus places the cost of discipleship beside the tender care of God. The same Lord who calls his followers to take up the cross also tells them that they are seen, known, and valued. Jesus reminds us that courage doesn't come from being fearless. Courage grows when we trust the Father more than we trust the world. Following Jesus may cost comfort, approval, and control, but it leads to the life that is truly life. It's not a call to dramatize hardship. It's a call to steady trust when everyday obedience asks more than we expected in ordinary hard places too. Our text today comes out of Matthew 10:24-39. Please listen as I read or read along with me. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, most of us don't wake up in the morning looking for conflict. We'd rather keep the peace, get along, and make it through the day without upsetting anybody. We know how to soften a sentence so it won't sting. We know how to stay quiet when speaking up might make the room uncomfortable. We know how to laugh off something that hurts because we don't want to make things awkward. A lot of the time, we don't call it fear. We call it wisdom. Sometimes it is wisdom. Not every hill is worth dying on. Not every conversation needs our opinion. But sometimes what we call wisdom is really fear dressed up for church. And that's the place where this text meets us. Jesus is speaking to people he has called, loved, equipped, and sent. They're not spiritual tourists. They are disciples. They've watched him heal the sick, welcome the rejected, forgive sinners, and speak with authority. They have seen grace in motion. And now Jesus tells them that carrying his message will not always bring applause. The same world that misunderstood him will misunderstood them. The same powers that resisted his mercy will resist theirs. The student should not expect better treatment than the teacher. Now that sounds strange to us because we often assume that if we are kind enough, gentle enough, careful enough, and faithful enough, everyone will understand. But Jesus never promised that. He does not tell his disciples that faithfulness will keep every room calm. He tells them the truth. Some people will accuse what they don't understand. Some will call light darkness. Some will reject the messenger because they do not want the message. But still, Jesus tells them not to live afraid. He doesn't say it because fear is imaginary. Fear is real. Rejection hurts. Family tension hurts. Being misrepresented hurts. Losing a reputation, a friendship, a comfortable place in the room, or a sense of control hurts. Jesus knows that. He speaks to ordinary people with ordinary nerves and ordinary hearts. He doesn't shame them for feeling afraid. He gives them something stronger than fear. He tells them what is hidden will be revealed. And that matters because fear grows when we believe the loudest voice gets the final word. Somebody can twist our motives. Somebody can tell the story wrong. Somebody can make faithfulness look foolish. But God sees what is true. The kingdom of heaven is not built on rumor, approval, or public opinion. It is built on the truth of God. So Jesus tells his followers to bring into the light what he has given them. Don't bury the gospel under fear. Don't tuck grace away where nobody can see it. Don't make your faith so private that it hides your witness. Then Jesus talks about body and soul. He's not dismissing suffering. He is putting it in its proper place. Human beings can do real harm, but they do not hold final authority. They cannot take what is held by God. That's not a call to recklessness. It's a call to courage. There's a difference. Recklessness ignores danger. Courage sees danger clearly and still trusts God enough to obey. And then right in the middle of this hard teaching, Jesus gives us sparrows. How cool is that? He does not answer fear with a lecture on toughness. He answers fear with a picture of the Father's care. Sparrows were small and cheap, the kind of creature most people barely noticed. Yet Jesus says, not one falls outside the Father's knowledge. If God sees the sparrow, he sees you. If God notices what the world overlooks, he notices the disciple trying to be faithful in a hard place. On Father's Day, that image lands with a particular tenderness. Some people hear the word Father and they feel warmth, but some feel grief, some feel absence, some feel gratitude mixed with ache. Jesus shows us the Father as the one who knows his children completely and values them deeply. This Father is not careless, distant, or distracted. He knows the number of hairs on our heads, which is Jesus' way of saying that God's care is not general. It is personal. You're not a file in heaven. You are known. And that kind of love is what makes courage possible. We don't confess Christ because we are naturally brave. We confess Christ because we are held. Jesus says that acknowledging him before others matters. Our faith is personal, but it is not meant to be hidden. To belong to Jesus is to live as one who belongs to him. It doesn't mean we become harsh or loud. It doesn't mean we turn every conversation into an argument. It means there is a steady truthfulness in us. We don't pretend Christ is optional when he is Lord. We don't hide mercy when mercy is needed. We don't deny grace to protect our comfort. Then the passage turns even harder. Jesus says his coming will bring division, even in households. Loved ones, we need to hear this carefully. Jesus is not calling for violence. He is not giving anyone permission to be cruel in his name. He is telling the truth about what happens when loyalty to him becomes first. False peace depends on everybody staying in their assigned place. False peace says, don't change, don't speak, obey, even if you disagree with me. The peace of Christ is far deeper than that. It reconciles us to God, and sometimes that very reconciliation exposes the cracks in human relationships. This is where discipleship gets practical. Jesus says that love for him must come before the closest loves we know. That doesn't make us love our family less. It teaches us to love our family rightly. When Christ is first, we don't use people to meet needs only God can meet. We don't make parents and children and spouses carry the weight of our salvation. We love them better because we are not asking them or expecting them to be Lord. And then Jesus names the cross. Before the cross became jewelry, church architecture, or a symbol on a Bible cover, it was an instrument of shame and death. The disciples would have heard that word with a chill. Jesus is saying that following him is not a hobby, a mood. It's not a little religious polish added to life we already planned. Following Jesus is surrender. It is the daily dying of self. Self that wants control at any cost, approval at any price, and safety above obedience. And here's the grace of the passage. The life we cling to most tightly is often the life we lose. We can protect ourselves into loneliness. We can avoid conflict until truth disappears. We can chase approval until we no longer know who we are. We can keep our faith comfortable until it no longer looks like following Jesus. But when we give our lives to Christ, when we open our hands and say, "Lord, all of me belongs to you," we find a life that fear can't give and the world can't take. So that is the invitation today. Not to be reckless, not to be rude, not to confuse stubbornness with faithfulness. The invitation is to walk the costly way with courage because the Father sees us. Jesus goes before us and the Spirit strengthens us. Some of us need courage to speak truth with love. Some need courage to stop hiding our faith. Some need courage to love our families without letting them take Christ's place. Some need courage to surrender the life we've been trying so hard to protect. The good news is that Jesus never calls us to a costly road he has not walked. He carried the cross before he told us to carry ours. He was rejected, slandered, wounded, and crucified, not because love failed, but because love went all the way. And by his resurrection, he shows us that surrendered life is not wasted life. It is life held in the hands of God. So don't be afraid. The Father sees the sparrow and he sees you. Christ knows the cost and he is worth it. The way of discipleship may cost comfort, but it gives us truth. It may cost approval, but it gives us freedom. It may cost control, but it gives us life. Take up the cross. Follow Jesus. Lose the life fear built and receive the life grace gives. Bow your heads with me, please. Lord Jesus, as we leave this space, give us courage to follow you with honest hearts. Help us carry your truth with humility, your mercy with tenderness, and your cross with trust. When faith costs us comfort, remind us that you are worth our whole lives. Send us out in the strength of your grace and the peace of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.